Starting with Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Who has clean hands and a pure heart? Who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false? He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors. The King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory. Move over to Ephesians, the last chapter, and the verses from the final greetings. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. And finally, over to second chapter of Revelation, the verses that make up the letter to the church in Ephesus. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favour. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. These are the very words of God. Please receive them as such. I'd now like to invite Bert up to bring us his message titled, The Quality of Our Love.
Thanks, Clay. I'm not sure if everyone who's here tonight was here last Sunday, but let me just briefly mention some context in the sense that there's certainly a relationship between the two messages. So last week our text was from Corinthians. At the end of the letter, Paul says, there's a great work to do. God has opened a door for effective ministry. And so he goes, instead of coming to the Corinthians right away, he defers coming and spends time in Ephesus. This is where God leads him. And that was our focus last week, a church established in that city. And it became a thriving church. It became a very significant church. So that's the verse we focused on. A great door for effective work has opened. So we're staying with Ephesus, but looking at that church now in a different way. And we also read last week from Psalm 24, the God of creation, the mighty God. He's the one who is holy. And how can we come into his presence unless we have clean hands and pure hearts? Well, we can't have that in ourselves because we're all sinners. and yet through the blood of Christ we are washed and cleansed and clothed with Christ's righteousness. Then the psalmist says, well, the gates of heaven, the doors are lifted up that the King of Glory may come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord himself. And he takes with us his people. So that's briefly what we focused on last week. And this is also the launch for what we want to look at this week. So let me ask you, as I ask myself, where do you stand? That King of Glory, those doors that were opened, the gateway to heaven, would you say that through Christ, you too have been able to enter those doors? Not your righteousness, Christ's righteousness. Are you safe with Jesus? It's an important question. We need to be sure about that. If you're not sure, do speak to someone. We also saw last week that Paul was an instrument in that other sense of the door. Going into that city, by the grace of God, preaching the gospel, and many responses, many people came to faith in Jesus. So Paul tells the Corinthians about those ministry opportunities. Now, today, we're reading that he writes to the Ephesians. So this is 7 years later. Corinthians first, he wrote to them. He said he was going to Ephesus. The church was established. And then he writes 7 years or so, the letter to the Ephesian church. And last week, when we thought about this church being established, we saw it was a great work, a mega work, because God opened that door. There was a huge response, great results. And I guess the focus tonight is about the quality, not the quantity. That mega door that was opened, how was it received in Ephesus? That's our theme for today. And to open that theme up, I want to look with you at the last words that he spoke in his letter to the Ephesian church. Usually Paul finishes each of his letters to the churches in a characteristic way. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Something along those lines. And that's a beautiful ending to a letter. And today, we notice that there's a little difference here. Peace be to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he writes his last sentence. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. It's not usual for Paul to end letters like that. He uses a very special word. It's hardly used elsewhere in the Bible in this context. Signing off to this Ephesian church 7 years later. And it's a descriptive word about love. The NIV says it's an undying love. And we just want to think about that word and think why Paul might have used that word in signing off to the Ephesian church. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus with an undying, or another translation, incorruptible love, a genuine love. To all who love Jesus, The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, Jesus who came in the flesh to live among us, the anointed one of God who came down for our salvation. And here he just closes off in this way, about a purity of your love, sincerity of your love, a non-decaying kind of a love. And I'd like you to think about that, as I have been thinking about that. Jesus' love for us is that he went all the way to the cross. We know that. And I trust everyone here knows that. He saw me. And for this one, he chose to die. He was sent from heaven, the Lord of heaven and earth. He became man for you and for me, that we might be forgiven and cleansed and lifted up to his glory. Do you love him? Do I love him? And I hope that you can clearly say, yes, I love him. Maybe there's some here who can't answer that question, or can't answer it yet, or still have questions to think about. Why do you love him? Why do I love him? And would you say your love is growing? Or is it declining? Or is it on shaky territory right now? Grace to all who love the Lord Jesus with a love that is undying or incorruptible. God's love for us is a dying love, isn't it? He sent his son to die. And that's why I love him. But Paul is saying here to the Ephesians, well, there's something about the quality of that love. Not decaying. It's put in the negative. Not decaying love. Not lessening love. A love that remains the same. So let me use an illustration from science, astronomy. And it's to think about something that will hopefully help us understand the point here. Have you heard about escape velocity? So what speed do you need to be travelling to escape the gravity, the force of gravity on this earth? Spacecraft is leaving earth. Well, it's not 40 kilometres an hour, not 400 kilometres an hour. Not 4,000 kilometres an hour, 40,000 kilometres an hour is how fast you've got to be going to escape the gravitational pull. So that's at that speed, it would take you 18 seconds to get to Hobart. So escape velocity. Won't make it unless a spaceship gets to that speed. And now I'm thinking about what Paul is speaking about here in Ephesians, our love for Christ. It's subject to pulls. It's subject to pressures. It's subject to decay. It's subject to corruption. And just like the pull of gravity pulls a spaceship or some other object, wants to drag it back to earth. I'm not speaking here about Christ holding on to me, but more about me holding on to Christ. I'm speaking about the human heart and what Paul is saying, our love for Jesus. Lots of people have spoken about these things in church history, for example. One of the earliest was St. Augustine, And you might have heard that name. He said every human being has an inclination to turn to ourselves and away from Jesus. So it's like we want to love Jesus more and more, but in the end we turn back and we're focusing on ourselves, or we're focusing on this, or our possessions, and our love for Jesus wanes, and the inclination is turned inwards. Martin Luther said similar things. He talked about, at the same time, I'm sinner and saint. At the same time. Simultaneously. Those two components are struggling together. I'm safe with Christ at the right hand of the Father. I'm purchased by his blood. I've entered through the door because of Jesus. And yet while I'm on this earth, the sinful tendencies and the desire for me and myself. David said, give me an undivided heart. In Psalm 86, that's how he wants to speak to God. Teach me your way, O Lord. Teach me your way that I'll rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart. I don't want to be in two camps. And again in Psalm 24, David says, the psalm that we read, such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Grace shows itself to me, a sinner, saved. And Paul writes to the Ephesian church, love the Lord Jesus Christ with a love that is imperishable, which a love that doesn't decay, that doesn't tarnish, that doesn't corrode. And that's the sense of what he's saying. And that's the reality check we want to think about today. Safe in Jesus. Safe in him. You can't see him unless you know him as your Lord. The one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. The one who is the loving God who rescued sinners. In Jesus, he became one of us. Jesus, the man to rescue men and women for him. Lord Jesus Christ, Christ the anointed one of God, sent to do the Father's will. Grace to all of you who love the Lord Jesus Christ with a love that's not curving backwards to yourself, but a love that keeps focusing on Jesus purely and wholly without deviation. And so today it's good to do a bit of an audit, isn't it, of our own heart, of our own situation. Remember, we're looking at one church that Paul was called to go to, one church where Paul was used of God to establish a great work. And Paul writes to them. And you know, it's interesting, isn't it, that he writes and uses that word, because when John writes the letters, or when John records for us the letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, the very first church that he mentions is Ephesus. I hold this against you, he writes to that church, or the messenger says to the church. You have forsaken the love you had at first. To which church is that said? Ephesus. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you don't repent, I'll come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. You have forsaken your first love. You've abandoned that love. You've left it behind, that first love. Veering away. That's the way Augustine puts it. Always that tension. The corruptibility of our response. And Christ is displeased with the church in Ephesus. Even though it was a mighty work of God. And it was a church that did great ministry in Asia Minor and in Greece. And was a great work of God. The object of their love faded. It's easy to excuse ourselves. Why do I love Jesus? What's my passion? Well, I walk through life and I do this and I do that. A bit of Jesus, a special time on Sunday for Jesus. And then, well, it's more of myself for the rest of the week. The quality of our love is what we're thinking about today. Remember the church that we talked about? The mega door that was opened for effective ministry, and so many came to faith. I don't know if those who were here last week remember the statistic about opportunities for India, for example. I said something like 2 million babies are born every month in India. 400,000 have already been born in August. Those numbers are beyond understanding and comprehension. And what will those young people, what will become of them in the years ahead if the Lord should tarry? Our churches have a ministry foothold there. What a great opportunity. What a wonderful, blessed opportunity to proclaim the name of Jesus in that dark land. But everyone, every single person who comes to faith is inclined to love themselves more or less. And so Paul had a special warning to them. Ultimately, it's not about mega ministry. It's about your heart. It's about my heart and our love for the Lord Jesus. Loving him solely, purely. Always going back on track. Always remembering our selfishness. Sincerely turning to him. 35 years later is when that letter or the message to the church of Ephesus was written in the book of Revelation by John. Church established, 7 years, Paul wrote to them. 35 years later, but lost their first love. A love was let to rust like the Titanic at the bottom of the sea. Decaying, a relic. So here's the tension that I live with and that you live with. We think of what the Lord Jesus has done for us each day. And we're challenged today again to think about our love for him. How do we do that? How can I do that? How can you do that? Well, I know of no better way than to think about that incident in the home of the Pharisee who invited Jesus for a meal. There was Jesus reclining with the disciples and other Pharisees. They're enjoying that meal. And you remember what happened? The woman who came and started crying and weeping, and her tears were dripping on Jesus' feet, and she wiped them with her hair. What a provocative scene that is. Now the Pharisee said, "Don't you know who she is? Don't you know what she's done? Don't you know her reputation? If you did know that, you wouldn't allow her to do that to you." And Jesus said to Simon, the name of that Pharisee, "I came into your house. You didn't give me any water to drink for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put oil on my head. She has poured perfume on my feet. Her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. Whoever has been forgiven little loves little." And Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And then, of course, they argued about Jesus' right to forgive sins. This woman realized who she was, a sinner before God. And because she realized that and understood the grace of God, her love for Jesus was expressed in this way. And that's the challenge for us all today. Calvin said, "Promptly and sincerely, I offer my heart to you." That was a sort of a motto. That was his theme in life. Promptly, sincerely, daily, I give my offering to you. I didn't do that once when I made a profession of my faith in a public way. No, I give it to you daily, promptly, sincerely. I give my heart to you. I guess today we're all here in different circumstances. I don't know where you're at the moment, maybe a bit disillusioned with things, frustrated the way things have turned out in your life. That's caustic, isn't it, to faith? That's caustic because it just eats away, and disillusionment just saps your energy. Why did things turn out this way? So many hopes, so many dreams. Life can be tough. Or maybe you're here and everything's rosy. Life's cruisy, comfortable, no real worries. That's caustic to your faith. That's going to corrode your faith and mine. What about the things you've done and accomplished in your life? Your reputation, your standing, your friends, how they esteem you or don't. But that can damage your faith and your love for Jesus. How about a lifestyle? You don't know what's living in my heart, and I don't know what's living in your heart. Sin you live with, that you harbour. Grudges you bear, that's caustic too. Eating away. Let's be challenged by the way that Paul says to the Ephesian church, grace to all who love the Lord Jesus with a love that isn't decaying, a love that is focused and always steering back to Jesus and away from self, steering back to Jesus, because we know that the pull away from him is stronger and stronger as we seek to love him and serve him. Let me lead you in prayer. Father, we pray tonight that we will give you our heart. Each and every day, we will walk with you in love and devotion until you return and receive us in eternal glory. Lord, thank you for this reminder and also solemn warning to take stock of who we are and why we do what we do and what's the ultimate reason for my existence. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given your life for us and give us the attitude of that woman who was an adulterous woman who'd lived a very sinful life. Give us the attitude of a broken heart, washed and cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus. An attitude where each and every day we live with joy and thankfulness and gratitude because King Jesus has come and rescued us and brought us to himself, and nothing will separate us from his love. Not famine or hardship or trouble of any kind. Nothing will separate us from that love. May we love you deeply, eternally, and all the days we live on this earth, serve and glorify your precious name. Hear our prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.